Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Psalm 50 is a psalm of mercy and justice. It is divided into three parts. Part one is about God, described as a mighty God who is perfect, righteous, and a God of judgment. The second part, which includes our text, tells us that God, out of love, corrects his people, invites them to call upon him in time of trouble, and he promises them deliverance. Part three describes God as a God of judgment who wants to save the people he has created. Today, most people don't want a judgmental and punishing God. In fact, they don't want judgment or punishment of any kind. Consider these facts. Last week, U.S. News reported that Wake Forest University ranked 30th in the nation. Will join a growing number of schools which will make standardized test scores such as SAT and ACT optional for new applicants. This removes one more reason for rejecting student applications. It no longer judges them as academically maybe inferior for the standards of particular schools. In recent weeks, the former pastor of one of this year's presidential candidates was strongly criticized in the media for claiming that the terrorist attack on 9/11 was God's judgment on our nation because of its godlessness and immorality. It has become the common opinion that there should be no adverse consequences or judgment no matter what one does. In a recent book, The American Resting Place, the author says that graveyards and burial sites are undergoing a disappearing act in our nation. She writes this: over the course of this nation's history, death has migrated from a position of prominence to one of near invisibility. Where once there were enormous Indian burial mounds, now we have modern memorial gardens. Instead of village churchyards in the center of town, we now have crematoriums discreetly tucked out of sight. Almost every visible sign of mortality, death, and burial has receded from the American landscape and from public consciousness. Ever since Genesis 3:3, death is a reminder of judgment. It is understood as a punishment for sin. And so we don't want that, and so we tend to hide it away from our daily consciousness. Unfortunately, this is not a true reading of Scripture, including our psalm, Psalm 50. From Genesis to Revelation, God has repeatedly condemned and punished people for their sins. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were immediately stripped of their physical immortality. They were driven from the garden and subjected ever since to all kinds of physical and other hardships. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed without a trace to this day because of their sins. In the flood, God drowned the entire human race except for 8 people, the rest punished because of their unrepentant sinfulness. Israel, north and south, were taken into captivity because they refused to repent, listen to God's prophets, and return as God's people. Christ looked out over the city of Jerusalem and he prophesied its utter destruction in the year 70 AD because they would not have him or accept him as their Messiah. Certainly, we cannot say that a particular catastrophe is due to a particular evil, whether it's 9/11, Katrina, numerous tornadoes, the current floods in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and elsewhere. But God does judge and punish people for their sins. And I have often wondered how long God will be patient and long-suffering with our nation, which allows people to embrace almost any lifestyle or form of conduct, no matter how evil before God, with the idea that there should be no fear of consequences or punishments because of it. And so as a nation, we have legalized abortion, which is nothing more than murder. There is a clear gay and lesbian rights agenda, which argues that this is just another acceptable lifestyle. And several states have even gone on record as approving gay marriages. One of the presidential candidates this year has stated that that lifestyle apparently is biblically acceptable, and he quotes the Sermon on the Mount in support of his view. Last week, Newsweek, after saying that 25% of teen virgins, 15 to 19-year-olds, had oral sex, and then it concluded that this was not exactly the making of a teen oral sex epidemic. To me, 25% should be a shocking statistic for some of the young people of our nation. The same magazine reported that during the past year, TV sex has become more frequent and more graphic than ever before in the history of television. Some see a strong anti-Christian agenda in many elements of our society, and apparently there is a growing atheistic apologetics taking place. And one can only wonder, how long will God be long-suffering? How long will he be patient and withhold his judgment? Psalm 50 reminds the people of Israel that God has made a covenant with them. A covenant is agreement between two parties. Both sides, both parties make commitments which they are expected to keep. If either party defaults, that party is called to account and held responsible for any failures they have committed, and they then become subject to certain penalties and punishments. This, I think, also applies to our society, and it can apply also to us. As we engage this psalm, there seem to be two things that are difficult for people today to accept. One is to be willing to listen to God. They prefer instead to dictate to God and themselves decide what is acceptable or not acceptable. And secondly, they fail to acknowledge that God is entitled to judge human failures. There simply should be no consequences whatsoever, no matter what you do. There was a time when the church got it right. Consider Cyprian, bishop of the city of Carthage in the mid-3rd century. He wrote a letter to a Demetrius, a pagan individual, to whom Cyprian was trying to explain why the Roman Empire was experiencing various calamities and difficulties at the time. Of course, one of the reasons was their persecution of the church. But Cyprian says this, "Yet why do you wonder why the anger of God grows as its fruit, punishment for the human race? When daily sin, the reason for the punishment grows. Or a little later in the letter, he says, God says that he is vexed because there is no knowledge of God on earth, and God is neither acknowledged nor feared. God protests deceitful acts of cruelty, of irreligion, of theft, and no one turns to integrity. And then again he says, God's action in defense of Christians has recently and crushingly followed swiftly and with great speed. It can be seen in the natural catastrophes, in the diminution of resources, in the loss of soldiers, in the decrease in the armed forces. Nor should anyone consider that this took place by accident or think that it happened by chance. All these events came down from God's anger, do not happen because of us, but to defend us. These were God's act of anger and judgment upon the people for their sins. And how can we assume that as a society, we are free to disregard God, do all sorts of things contrary to his will, and never have God act in judgment upon them? I think it is a delusion of our society, and it is truly unfortunate. Now, granted, we can say this is a result of this sin, but God does eventually tire of the gross sinfulness of a people, and he does eventually call them to account. And so I think it is one of our duties in our world to call this world of ours to faith in Christ Jesus, call them to repentance and righteousness, and to invite them to do what God says in verse 15, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver you. And then God tells us that they will see the salvation of God that he promises in verse 23. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.